Hey, do you guys like wizards?
Do I?
Hey, yes.
Hey, do you guys like sorcerers?
God, no.
Hey, do you guys like more?
It's better than less.
I love more.
I had a joke about it last night. It's gone. Jeffrey Combs, but once a year.
Oh.
But he always cleans up after himself.
Dr. Mordred, Master of the Unknown.
Get ready for the second best Doctor Strange movie ever made.
Exactly. Second best?
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, lady.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Yeah, this isn't a normal episode. This is we're literally just talking. We've been talking about this movie for quite some time.
Like eventually, we're gonna watch this thing.
Yeah, and we were just
gonna do something on it.
Yeah, I don't know how we didn't know how we were gonna do it. Basically, we all just watched it separately last night, and we're messaging each other while we were watching it. But this is Dr. Mordred, Master of the Unknown, starring Jeffrey Combs. This was originally a Doctor Strange movie.
Yes.
And then they lost the license.
And then they lost
the last possible minute, apparently.
This is 1992, and this is really low budget. So you have to keep that in mind.
Was this ever released in theaters?
I
can't have been.
Don't know.
I
have no clue.
Like, I'm almost certain it just aired
on
Fox.
It may
Fox
have been in
something.
A theater somewhere.
It might have, yeah.
One theater.
Yeah.
A theater of the mind.
In Cleveland. Like, I don't know.
It's Jeffrey Combs, private theater.
So a little
it came to the Attico drive-in. I love this movie.
A lot of kids were conceived to Dr. Mordred.
Oh God! I mean, you got to do something interesting.
This movie sucks. Let's
got to do something interesting. Might as well be Margaret. Margaret's very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Alan.
So this was directed by the father-son directing duo,
yeah,
of Albert and Charles Band, which is. How often is a father-son directing team?
If you look at their IMDb stuff, they've actually done a lot of stuff together.
Yeah.
It was more like producing together rather than actually directing together.
Albert is the father, I believe, and it seemed like he produced a ton of stuff, even like back in the 50s.
Yeah.
He did some Italian films, and he like did a bunch of kind of older Hollywood stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was an experienced producer, and Charles Jr., though I kind of like this guy more than actual Charles in Charge.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, this guy's done a shit ton of movies.
Yes. That's the thing. I was like, okay, I'm going to do a little research on the people behind this movie, and I'm like, there's no way that he's done anything since this. Oh boy, he's done a lot.
Well, he's got his own production company, Full Moon Entertainment.
Oh, Full Moon Entertainment. Yes. Oh, Full Moon Entertainment.
Yeah. It's right on there.
It's right on the DVD.
Full Moon
Entertainment. Yes. Gentlemen and Frogs, I own the DVD.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
guess what?
No one should be surprised. If you listen to one episode of this, owns Dr. Mordred on DVD.
There is a special behind-the-scenes making-of 10-minute featurette, and it's horribly good.
Oh, my God. I gotta see that.
Yeah, it's... the best part of the entire making-of featurette is... what's her name? Yvette Nipper.
Mm.
She plays Samantha in the show, and she... They're interviewing her, and she goes, "Oh, I think there's going to be a number two."
Oh boy!
Oh, like
was a number two.
It came with number one. She's like, "Oh, I don't have any behind the scenes info or anything." She goes, "But it just seems like it's going to be really good," and like she seems sincere. Like maybe she was just being optimistic. You never know when you're making something what it's.
Oh gonna God! Be. Like people famously like they're making a giant mess, and then like you're just doing a scene at a time, and often you're like hours and hours are spent just doing one. There's no way to know how it's all going to edit together.
Stockholm syndrome eventually kicks in.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I was watching an interview with Tom Holland, who plays Spider-Man.
Yeah,
and it's in promotion for the new Avengers movie, and it shows a picture of him. With the suit on, he goes, "Oh, that's what it looks like."
Oh, like the
"This is literally the first time I've ever seen it."
Motion capture.
Yeah, well, you don't. Well, he might have something that looks similar, but it's not quite like that or whatever. And he goes, "I don't know anything." People were asking him questions about it. He's like, I can't give anything away because I literally know nothing about what he goes. I don't even know what the plot is.
That's amazing.
It's like, wow, you realize how insular something
is. It is funny too. Like, yeah, that does happen when people literally just get script stuff that they're in,
yeah,
and not the wider story. It almost feels like, is that? I guess it works, right? Yeah. I mean,
I think it works from a character standpoint because it's like
the character doesn't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what's going on over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
I can't astral project my mind out of my body to see what's going on over there.
To head over to a museum.
Yeah, speaking of which, should we jump into the movie?
We probably should.
Yes. A little detour. So yeah, 1992, this came out, and he's, mm-hmm, yeah, going back to the director.
Yes, Charles Band, who is in charge, and like we're saying, went on to...
And in a band.
Just dozens of just the schlockiest,
yeah, and horror comedy movies. Yeah, it's all very low
it's like budget stuff. It's like budget trauma, which is something to say,
yeah,
out loud.
Well, no, it's probably on the same level.
Maybe it's the same level.
Is there anything I would have heard of, or...
No.
1984, Ghoulies.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yes. The Ghoulies franchise.
Yeah.
1986, Troll. You ever seen that? With Julie Louise.
Not Troll 2.
No, I'm familiar.
Julie Louise Dreyfus.
Troll franchise.
Not Troll 2, though. That has nothing to do with him.
The Puppet Master series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And the Trancer series. Yeah.
I don't know the Trancer series.
1994, no one's ever heard of this movie, but there's a movie called Oblivion, which, track it down. It's, I actually have Brian seen this. I've watched it several times.
Oh, yeah, we're ready.
It's super funny. And, like, it's super stupid funny. And a lot of it is, they know that they're being dumb.
Right.
And there's, like, George Takei is in it. And just, like, a handful of people that you see them.
Oh, he did Evil Bong?
Catwoman. Yeah. And two and three.
There's a third Evil Bong.
Clearly, I know what's up because I pronounce it Bonga?
You know, it's unfortunate.
We are recording this April 21st.
Exactly. If only we knew about Evil Bong yesterday. Anyway, so he's, like they said, they lost the rights to Doctor Strange. So they said, to hell with it, we'll do it live. And they just went ahead.
But what he did have, he had bits from another movie that he had been working on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I think there's actually some footage. I don't know what it is, but I just saw a couple blurbs in separate places about it saying that he took footage from this other movie that they had worked on, but it didn't go anywhere.
Tell me it's the dinosaurs.
I don't know. Actually, in the making of, they do a big thing on the stop motion dinosaur stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting, actually.
No, a big thing of a 10-minute featurette, is that like some 6 minutes of it? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, a whole 3 minutes. And like 2 minutes of it is the father and son going back and forth in the most bizarre, like, you probably should have cut this sort of thing.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the plot of this movie, how this pans out.
Yeah.
So we open, and this opens 100% like an early 90s Fox TV movie. It's just panning around.
Yeah, it's like 7 minutes of...
Yeah.
It was two.
It did not feel like
it two. Was two, but it felt like forever.
I know, you guys were talking about it.
I actually timed it.
Like,
I went back.
You were mentioning it before I even got to it. So yeah. I was like, how long is this going to be? I'm like, oh, that was 2 minutes.
I mean, you were prepared for it. It's like the second time when you watch a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, the runtime of this is an hour and 12 minutes, and 2 minutes is a lot.
That's true.
Fair big chunk, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's panning around the Inner Sanctum, I think it was called, which is legally distinct from the Sanctum Sanctorum. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's, you know, it's got a lot of knickknacks about. It looks kind of like a Pier 1 that, you know, they put a few skulls here and there to make it a little more sorcery.
Well, I had like 9 TV monitors.
Yeah, exactly.
I can watch 9 places in the world.
He religiously tapes VHS tapes, news reports, and he's got like a wall full of VHS tapes.
And a bunch of night court as well.
Oh, God, yes.
But with the Harry. TVs, I thought it was like, is he Ozymandias? Like,
that was my thought, too.
Yeah,
kind of.
But unlike Ozymandias, he does not have a genetically engineered liger.
No.
He has a crow.
Named?
Edgar.
Allan.
Edgar Allan.
Edgar Allan Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you can't have...
Not a raven.
That's
not
true.
Not a raven.
If you can't have, you know, a culturally insensitive sidekick, then you get a raven, and you name it after famous author. There you go.
I'm really culturally insensitive sidekick.
Wong. Like, classic Wong.
Wong. Okay, classic Wong.
They've made Wong better.
Classic Wong.
I noticed there were a number of things. Like, again, you had that screen that was straight up on Ozymandias, all the TV screens and stuff. And, like, the evil force was the Death's Head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of just an actual Marvel thing, like the name anyway. Yeah.
And the monitor.
The monitor. Yeah. Yeah. Which is going DC. And you just just spooky space eyes guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was an Are You Afraid of the Dark?
So, okay, let's briefly. And then briefly
the fourth dimension, which.
Well, Jack Kirby did some work on the movie.
That's apparently, true.
Yeah.
So you pan around this in his inner sanctum. And it has the credits. It doesn't even, it's not like Dr. Mordred, the title was like in small text at the bottom of the screen, which I thought like, it's like a,
this is an episode.
You're making a movie. That would be like an episode title popping up in like a Matlock.
Yeah. Matlock in Dr. Mordred.
Yeah.
All night.
My favorite credit of all was based on an original idea by Charles Band.
But
he did not give a single
prove it.
Yeah. But the screenplay was by C. Courtney Joyner, who had worked on The Puppet Master and Transfer stuff and a bunch of Charles Band stuff. But I did find out he had some acting credits. He was one of the original zombies in the original 1978 Dawn of the Dead.
No way!
Yeah, he's listed as zombie with eyeglasses.
Oh, if you're going to be a zombie.
What a nerd.
Rock some specs, friend. Stand out from the crowd.
There you go.
He's a smart zombie. And also, he wrote this movie.
I still read.
And write.
He holds up the person. What's the ingredients on this guy?
Yeah. Just adjusting.
Soybeans.
You're sighted.
Turned into the Hulk there.
Just a smidge.
Zombie smash.
So, so he speaks to, it's weirdly enough, so it spends 2 minutes panning around the place, and then he sort of like, then you see this monitor's spooky space eyes staring down at him, being like, just very quick.
Dance for me, Dr. Mordred.
But he very specifically,
you're
like,
late for school.
It seems like he very abruptly gives him like, hey, so here's your deal and the deal with this entire story, and then immediately just cuts away.
Gotta go.
I love how it spends so much time showing the sanctum, but like the plot is like, hey, you're Dr. Mordred, here's some evil things. Do good stuff.
Watch out for the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then
smash cut to
the bad guy.
Hmm. Oh yeah. So we're in Rio de Janeiro.
I could
okay, help. So what?
We're not in any way in Rio de Janeiro.
Backlot LA.
Yeah.
But for the sake of people,
statue of Jesus. So it must have been.
Yeah. Stock. It says stock footage right at the bottom.
There's a watermark on it.
For the sake of people listening,
please purchase full version.
In the explanation from the monitor, basically Dr. Mordred, basically him and the bad guy were both
Kamal.
Cabal were both raised in the fourth dimension or whatever to be wizards, and the greatest wizards, one turned out good, one turned out bad. They had defeated Cabal, imprisoned him, and now and Dr. Mordred had been sent to Earth to guard Earth 150 years ago.
In case Cabal ever broke out.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you go far away from where he's being held?
And this comes and up later. Like, it specifically comes up later where there's like an old man with a sword who's like guarding it. Like, that's it. Just an old man with a sword.
I was an elevator technician. Why am I looking after this guy?
The only person who stands a chance is like, protect Earth in case Cabal goes there. It's like, there's a better way to do this, but cool.
Now that he's gone.
So yeah, basically Cabal breaks free.
And steals a bunch of gold.
And goes straight for Rio.
Was it gold or platinum?
It was platinum.
Platinum.
It was,
Well, how did he refer to it? This gold sister? Gold sinister sister or something?
Gold sexy sister.
Something like that.
So he, so you have people in an armored truck transporting it. Two dudes. He does it. He had performed a spell on one of them to brainwash them, basically. He shoots the driver.
Okay, and let me just say, when you shoot someone who's driving a vehicle, the vehicle comes to an easy stop.
Immediate stop.
Not even an immediate. It's like, let's just roll to, we stop right here. In a nice little, I'm going to park. Let me just parallel park this while I've been shot.
With his last breath, he wanted to park that truck safely.
No, Jimmy, let me park this. Correctly.
You couldn't see it, though.
Probably a little more
They were driving so close to the giant Jesus statue, he could not, with his last breath, he had to stop before he ran into it and damaged it in any way.
Dios mio.
Very devout.
Praise Jesus. Head on the horn.
So then bad fake accent guy dies, and then other bad fake accent guy starts loading the platinum out of the car onto the street.
And who shows up? In a Jeep?
In a beige Jeep. And wraparound shades.
And he's the best looking.
And just
the most beautiful mullet.
He's dressed
a little bit like Raiden from the first Mortal
Kombat. A little bit.
And like a cross between the first Mortal Kombat movie and the second Mortal Kombat movie. But that's not Raiden. You think it's Raiden.
Mm-mm. But no. Who is it? It's Shao Kahn.
He's a... it's definitely Shao. Yes. He rolls up. He's got his wraparound shades. He's got, like, a tie as a... Like, so a scarf as a belt. Mm-hmm. He's got, you know, some sort of kind of African necklace-looking thing that he definitely got from a gift shop that just, like... as I'm pumped out of China. And he has like a growler of funky beer.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a whole case. He's a mixologist. Oh,
he's ready. He's ready. And he pours a circle around of his funky beer around these chests of platinum, and it teleports them away by magic.
Yeah.
By funky beer magic. And then he afterwards does something ice cold and has his brainwashed minion shoot himself in the head off screen.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least you don't see
smash
it.
Smash cut to...
Gotta love those smash cuts.
Smash cut to neighbors arguing about a dog.
Yes!
Oh, right.
Which is just the part where, at first it's like, oh, he's like Doctor Strange, except he has neighbors.
Yeah, it's like, sitcom Doctor Strange.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like, they're all constantly arguing in the hallway. Eventually it comes out that he's like, I guess he owns the building.
So what happens? Like, spoiler.
Yes, this is my question. End. Yeah.
He owns the building. Who is everyone paying rent to? How does that work?
What's the last line? He leaves, ...
But he owns the
building. But he owns the building. It's like...
So he's an absentee landlord.
Yeah.
It's the best kind of landlord.
Like, I never have to pay rent again.
It's awesome. Yeah, so...
He comes back 6 months later and it's just devolved into a Mad Maxian wasteland.
Piggy has the conch.
I thought that was a real dumb thing, and then I thought about it a minute. I'm just like, actually, that's kind of smarter than actual Doctor Strange, because you're just going to have this building. Like, where's your money coming from? He's collecting rent, man, in New York City. No, he doesn't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He just chills out in his
And it's a super nice building.
Oh, yeah.
So it was not like people,
he's getting good money.
Yeah. And you only got to meet three of his neighbors, but assumedly it was a whole building. Full of people.
Yeah. One assumes.
Even if it's like a couple stories.
You had a couple of lazy, I want to say the New York stereotypes, but they're performed by like someone from like the Midwest trying their best to be a New York person.
I'm from New York.
Yeah. So you have
I'm paying rent here.
Yeah. You have
I got night cream on my face here.
Yeah.
Your dog's so loud.
So there's
like, I'm an attraction walking my dog at night.
So yeah, there's old lady.
I'm a dog here. A dog is a pet, and I'm that. Come on.
So there's old lady in a nightgown. Everybody was in their, except for the guy about to walk the dog. Everybody was in house coats.
Yeah,
and it was like, it seems really bright out. But whatever, everyone's ready for sleepies.
My main man Anton Mordred in his gold, just luxurious house coat. That is straight up. That's a good look.
Yeah.
I gotta look into gold house coats.
And and Mordred is played by, we've mentioned, Jeffrey Combs.
Yes.
Who I know him from DS9 as Wayun. Yeah. And he's got very
Reanimator.
The Reanimator,
He's done a bunch of voice stuff.
He's done a ton of voice
stuff. He's the Question on Justice League Unlimited.
Ratchet on Transformers.
He's the leader in the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a very distinctive voice when he's playing it up.
He plays, and I have to track this down now because I never even knew this existed. There's only three episodes, so it might have been just a trial. The 2003 animated Doom Patrol.
What?
He plays Chief. And Clancy Brown plays Negative Man.
Get out of here.
I know. And I'm like,
Robot Man? You would think Robot Man.
Yeah.
I would think Robot Man.
So, so you have bickering neighbors. He comes out. There's another neighbor introduces who you mentioned, the love interest.
The love interest played by Yvette Nipper, Samantha Hunt.
Yeah.
And she had a bit on the Flash TV series.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. She's done lots of stuff.
I think her last credits that I found were
in 2007.
Yes. Yeah. Two direct-to-video or direct-to-streaming Walking Tall movies starring Kevin Sorbo. And after that, she decided, let's just stop.
So... You work with Kevin Sorbo twice.
Yeah.
You're done.
You're done. It's the
keep that in mind, Lucy Lawless.
It establishes that Samantha is police consultant. So she works with the police, but she's not a cop.
Okay.
It comes out very awkwardly.
Can I just say that I've seen this a couple times now, and this was maybe my third time watching it, and it didn't dawn on me till I watched it this time. This is Magical Highlander.
Oh.
If you've ever seen Highlander.
Yeah.
This is almost identical to the plot of Highlander.
I can see that.
Well, yeah, you that have the love interest is she's like a consultant for the police.
Yeah. Wow.
In like magical, or not magical, but like weapons and exotic things that isn't regular knowledge. That's exactly what this girl does.
Yeah.
And then he's like some guy that is from someplace and has been around for hundreds of years and doesn't want to like divulge too much to her. And then like slowly she finds out and she starts helping
him. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Also, we're in love now.
Yeah.
So the best part of this scene to me, it's mentioned a few times, I think, that the landlord is like, they never see him.
Yeah.
But, you know, what he's doing.
And the whole time, he's just rubbing his nipples.
Yeah. So he pops out and he's talking to her and he's talking, like, you know, the other neighbors seem miffed to see him. And he has a little conversation with this woman, and they sort of introduce each other and stuff. It's like, I've never seen him before. Then he just pulls out his amulet and just mind wipes her, I guess.
No. He freezes time for her. That amulet, it can freeze time for a person, meaning it'll make them stay mostly still.
Yeah.
Really slow.
Yeah.
For a minute or two.
But he's pulling this for, it seemed like for almost no reason. They were just having a conversation. She'd learned too much.
Yeah.
Nothing really awkward happened. It was at that point, but it's like, well, good night. And just done that. But instead, you pull the amulet out and pull some weird magic
Men in Black.
Yeah, stuff on her for no reason at all.
And from
just to establish that this exists.
And from her perspective, she's like, so, whoa, I haven't seen you around here very much. And I'm like, oh, and we did this. And you, who's the slash?
Thank
he's
God.
Gone. She's left standing there going, what the hell just happened?
So he just
outed himself.
Yeah, he just complicated matters for no reason at all. But at least we saw that.
He pulled out something. Good at this.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's been doing it for a long time.
He pulled something out of his golden magical robe and flashed me.
Yeah. So he had a news report to videotape. He had to get to it right now. Like idle chit chat in the hallways, it's murder. You can't.
I have no time for this.
Yeah.
Petty human.
So he goes back into his inner sanctum, and he's discovered, oh, Cabal is here, and he's stealing stuff, as it was prophesized in my scrolls and my, what is that thing that measures distance on a boat, like a sextant or something like that?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yep, he's here.
I read books with a sextant.
There's a lot of him, just putting that on a scroll and, like, just sticking pins in a giant map that he's got in the background.
Carmen's here.
Almost got her.
I don't have the warrant yet.
Yeah.
There's a big Where's Waldo poster.
Well, he was on a plane with a red, yellow, and green field on it.
Yeah.
Carmen Sandiego jokes.
There you go.
Keller.
He decides at this
makes a lot of great stink faces. Like, we're just like... Like, looking very concerned and upset about things, but just the way he expresses it was magical.
Well, I mean, everything he does is magical.
Well, that's true, by default. Then you cut to him having a speech where he's like, he's like a criminal psychologist author
about the occult. His speech was either 5 minutes long or Detective Sam Hunt walked in at the very end of it and stayed for 30 seconds, and everyone's like, yeah, he's right. Devils are real.
The occult's a thing. Ugh. They have another, they meet again. Like, it seems like that last scene and then this one where they're just sort of like talking to each other. It's like, why did you follow those two up immediately by each other for no reason?
It should have been immediately. She runs up to the front. What did you do in the hallway?
Exactly. I don't remember anything and I feel very upset.
Yeah. I'm hungover.
I had like an extra $10 in my wallet and gone.
And then after that, he has that thing where he's meeting the lecturer. It seems like oddly placed because he found out that Cabal's out, and then he goes to bed, and then he wakes up in the morning and gives a lecture, and then he goes back home and puts on his solid blue jumpsuit and cape combo.
Okay, that is he's the white Lando Calrissian wearing a Hillary Clinton jumpsuit.
It's great. Oh, it's that's good. Delightful. That's exactly the way to describe it.
The only thing he's not wearing is what's on the DVD cover.
Yeah.
No. Because the DVD cover, he has like a sash here to break it up, but in the movie, it's just straight up just.
And it's like an actual separate thing.
And he doesn't have giant flowing sleeves at any point in the movie.
No, not at all.
I was very disappointed by that. I was like, is he going to have the sleeves now? No?
Nope. Nope. Still Hillary Clinton. And Lando with the Lando cape. It's like identical. They just,
you know,
they went to the Empire.
You know, we thought he was such a sure thing, but he just didn't make it.
Empire storage unit and took out the Lando thing.
Yeah.
He's like, go with this. Put this on.
This is still here. So he walks down. This is like a lit hallway where he sort of goes very slowly to like teleport to the fourth dimension.
Yeah. Behind his giant map.
Yeah. And he's got, so he goes to is it the fourth dimension, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
So it's like a floating, it's very like 80s cartoon. It's like this floating castle in a void kind of a thing. And there's corpses everywhere. And
he meets his good friend.
Some dude.
Beardo.
No Eyes Johansson.
Not Volstagg.
guy who swears.
Yeah, he does.
Guy who calls demons sons of bitches.
And that's your first hint of where you can go. The magical places you can go if you don't have, like, an officially licensed Marvel property.
Yeah.
Apparently everyone else has been killed. I guess there was more people guarding.
Basically, this guy was guarding a prison.
Yes.
For Mordred and... Or no. For Cabal and all his demons. And there's more demons still in there. And he's trying to keep them contained. But...
Cabal just left his bros behind. So that tells you everything you need to know about Cabal.
He broke out and laser burned this guy's eyes.
Yes.
He melted my son of a bitch eye.
Yeah. It just looks like bits of, like, you know, like a baked ham. Then you sort of like stuck to
it. Like,
it's got a bit of a burnt pepperoni.
Yeah. He's like, honey glaze.
Burn my damn eyes out, Mordred.
But lick them. Right. They're tasty.
And Mordred unburns his damn eyes.
Yeah. Prosciutto, are you okay?
just does it. Just, he heals the blind.
Yep.
He's a very magical man.
So yeah, heals against Buddy's eyes, and then...
And,
chats for a bit, and then, like, alright, I'm out.
Yeah, stay here, guard all the hard stuff.
He waited, like, at least 12 hours to check on his good friend after he got evidence that he might be in trouble.
Right, yeah. He went to bed. I had a conference to go to the next morning, so I wanted to get some sleep.
And the mention time moves faster there, too, right? Yeah. Like, if you're there, like, a minute, it could be days in the other world. It was just like, that's fine. I'm just kidding. For him, it's been, like, 6 months. It's fine.
That's fair.
Yeah. Returns back to his apartment, and he gets changed. I think his neighbor shows up at some point. She's in his apartment.
Yeah.
Something happens in between. And he invites her in. Is this before or after she thinks there's a fire? I don't remember when that was in the movie where she calls the police.
This is when the fire.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah,
she touches the hand
while he's in the other world. Yes, that's it. She tries to, he has like a high tech, security thing to get into there. And there's like, she thinks there's a fire and calls the,
basically magical things that just make the, your knob hot.
Yeah.
And, so she goes to touch the door up and it's hot. So she calls the fire and they're about to break in the door and he opens it.
He catches the act. What's going on here?
1 second later, thunk. Movie's over. Credits go.
Oh, I want Dead that Mordred. Cut. I legit want that cut. she gets chewed right out. The police.
Yeah.
Repeatedly, there's a thing. Like, there's a thing I've seen of her with, like, the only other cop, apparently. The only other cop in the place. It's a very sparsely...
He's like a fat Ted Raimi.
Oh, Gun Chuman.
Yeah. It's just, like, kind of a dirtbag sexist cop who gives her a bad time. And then, basically, she's in trouble because she called a false alarm. Even though, clearly, it was a misunderstanding. Yeah. I figure that wouldn't be so...
He invites her in.
They're colleagues.
Oh, I hate you more.
Yeah.
So he invites her into the inner sanctum, and she's amazed by all of his...
she should be amazed, because that apartment is huge.
Yeah. It is massive.
It should not fit.
The ceiling is suddenly like a 30-foot... Yeah.
The thing is, like, they're on the same floor.
Yeah.
Like, they literally... She's like, she's two apartments away from me. If he was on the next, like, in the penthouse, that would be a little more plausible.
The R-rated version, she would walk in. What the fuck?
Look at these ceilings.
It's amazing. How do you live here? What the hell?
It's like, I can also do magic. I'm less impressed by that, actually.
I only have one window in my place. It's in the kitchen.
I have to pee in the sink.
Great. So she's
she
looking
asks,
at
she
it.
Asks him. She figures out that he's the landlord. And she,
yes,
because he has checks. My something.
My sink slash urinal.
Yeah. It's a sinkinal. That's what they call it.
Sinkinal.
Yeah.
It's a New York term.
Yeah.
I'm pissing here.
She notices like her rent checks laying around apparently, so she figures it out. And notices his amulet, I think, and holds it up and just has a moment where it's
Druid?
She says, Druid?
He's
like, what? And for a minute I'm just like, Did you do this on purpose? Or have we just paid too much attention to Dr. Druid in this damn podcast? that our minds will go there.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I wanna believe that it's like, are you Dr. Druid? Fuck no.
No, look at this. This is real hair.
Yeah.
It's real hair.
So they're getting to know
Jeffrey
each other.
Combs.
But we cut to some punks.
Jeff Probisha. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
this is my favorite part
the
of
punk
the
is punks.
She's doing a really embarrassing dance routine in an abandoned church.
Yeah, it's like two...
drumming with some candles.
90s leather rock punk...
Just two of them. They're like a punk couple in an abandoned church that you only ever see from like the tightest of two angles. Yeah, so it's like probably just someone's living room.
Or the only part of the church that they were allowed to use.
Yeah.
And so the guy basically, they explain that Cabal was speaking to this guy and he's... thinks he's the devil. I don't know. Whatever. He's like,
he's the master.
You're my master, and I'll do whatever you want. And she's like, are you sure? Yeah, he spoke to me in here. And this actor,
he points at his butt.
Exactly. He spoke to me.
You want to hear him too?
You can smell him. He's coming through.
So they're performing like a spell to try to conjure him, effectively. Yeah. And then
But this guy, the way he acts, he's my favorite for the whole movie.
Oh, he's the best.
He's my favorite in just a littered movie of crap.
My favorite detail was like the back wall. There was a crucifix that was just very... It wasn't just messed up. It was like hung upside down, but perfectly upside down. Like he did it with so much care.
Yeah. Did you notice he was wearing
it? He was wearing one around his neck, too. It's like, that's just his thing, man.
Yeah. That's his symbol.
Yeah. So, Cabal shows up. And, like, the big window, like, explodes, and there's energy, and he appears in, like, just a lavender silk robe.
Yeah.
What, lavender isn't in anymore? Blonde flowing mullet. Man, what an entrance.
God, look at him. He must have a huge dick.
And we don't
Does get... no one listen to the Eagles anymore?
So he chooses the female punk.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's like a sudden switch.
And just
she's
immediately
naked, going.
And here's the thing, because we have some swearing, we have some nudity, the things you can do if Marvel isn't.
I actually saw a comment somewhere online just about I don't know if it was about this movie in particular, but just Full Moon Entertainment movies.
Yeah.
I guess there's lots of nudity in all. Like it's your standard schlock fest.
So. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Had to get a little out of there.
They were talking about this movie because they're like, if there had been a little bit less, if there wasn't as much nudity as you would normally see in their movies, but if there was less, there might have been more of a family approach and like, might have been a bigger audience. I don't know. Either way.
I mean, if that was the only reason.
Yeah. That's why it didn't do well.
We could have had another 40 seconds of slow skeleton fight.
Yeah.
So he performs an evil spell on her that kills her.
Yeah.
And then he, like, burns.
He thinks, or she thinks she's just gonna make sexy
sex. Going to Cabal down.
Yeah.
But instead
she's gonna shave
on it. Totes dies and gets the same symbol from the amulet.
And the guy and her boyfriend doesn't seem to mind at all.
He's not even there. He's not there.
He's not there, and there's no mention of her after that.
No, he does not care.
He's Froyo.
He's like, oh.
I love fucking Froyo, man.
Give me the cursed kind. I love it. Do you have it in black?
You got piss flavor. I'm edgy.
Awesome. So that happens. And then once he's done killing
yeah.
the punk princess.
He burns her and bloods her.
Yeah. burns her with the amulet symbol, the same amulet that our dear friend Anton rocks around his sweet, sweet neck.
First name basis, I like it.
I know, I think we are. Then we go to the Inner Sanctum again,
mm-hmm.
where he's got this, he's loving, like, sometimes they spend so much time, they're so proud of their props, I think.
Well, really, yeah. it's we've spent money on this, and we can't spend money anywhere else.
No, exactly.
So we have three sets, use them.
Yes. Yeah. So he's got this case with, like, these clear plastic knives.
Yeah. The crystals of Endor.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
Yeah, really just pulling from everywhere.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they're pretty cheap looking, but they were clearly very proud of it, so they really focused on these knives.
Well, yeah. Even the case was nice.
That's true.
So he takes them out, and then he inserts them into himself.
He's stabbing himself.
And then they turn into light, whoop, and then they're gone. And then he kind of, ooh.
So I guess
indigestion.
He's getting, enhancing his powers or something. He's doping. He's doping on plastic.
He's knifing.
And plastic knives. Light knives.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, who shows up but Cabal?
Ba-ba-boom!
Ba-ba-booey, ba-ba-boo.
And then he runs away.
And they have a little pleasant little chat.
Well, yeah.
At first.
Then there's, I'll drink your blood and feed on your flesh, and it will taste sweet. That's an actual quote.
Because you eat blood a lot.
It started pleasant, and it ended really rough. It's funny. Like, it's like, hey, so, like, you know, come on. I'm being evil. You can be evil with me. We're bros, right? It's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I will cannibalize you.
Gods in a godless world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instantly, so you know, you get that they're close, you get that they've got history, but, you know, things have gone sour between Anton and Cabal.
Dr. Mordred then throws a light beam at Cabal. It doesn't work.
No.
Well, I think it's one of those light knives.
Right, yeah.
He shoots out, and he just goes,
I had to put it in me to throw it.
Yeah.
He threw it at his astral.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep, it was his astral.
Right up his astral.
Yeah.
Oh, my astral!
Ineffective.
Oh, I pearl-hefts my ass.
That might come back later in a very disappointing way.
Yeah.
Then what happens?
Oh, you get to see.
Then the cops show up?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The cops show up and.
Arrest him.
He gets arrested because his cool amulet symbol was found on.
Yeah, the druid symbol. The Dr. Yeah. Druid symbol was on Cabal's. Symbol, like his amulet as well.
Same symbol.
And it's like the same thing, yeah.
Literally
the same. It was burned into the girl, so then Samantha Hunt, Highlander girl, saw it and said that to the cops, and she thought, well, he knows what it is, but instead the cops just arrest him, thinking, we've got our guy now! Yeah.
They're great cops.
Yeah.
And every time you see the police station, like, the cops come in, like, he gets arrested, he's being brought into a very white-walled, generic room. There's, like, you never see more than, like, two cops at one time. Like, two or three cops at one time. It's the most, like, there's almost nobody in this precinct.
It's very quiet in New York.
Yeah.
Crime is down.
Crime's down.
So they interrogate him. They don't really get anything out of him. They take his amulet, which he needs. He needs that amulet.
Yeah.
He does.
He's very, very upset that they took his amulet.
So
he keeps telling Highlander Girl, please go get my amulet.
Get my amulet. There's a button on it.
Yeah.
Press the button and it'll freeze anybody, including the coroner while he's drinking his milkshake. Which is when it shows. This thing does not actually freeze time.
Yes.
It just stops a person. That coroner almost definitely died.
Exactly. I was like, he was going to, like...
Anton, you reckless.
He almost drowned it on a protein shake.
Yeah.
Well, he stops and it just keeps pouring. And it's like the endless protein shake because it just keeps going. They got it hooked up to a hose that goes down his arm because it just...
It's like a gag on Saturday Night.
Yeah, exactly. You know, in the outtakes, he's like, help me! Dude, you're in control of your arm. No, I'll do the shot.
I'm a method actor. I'm moving real slow.
This is at this point he comes clean like instantly to
Highlander Girl.
Picture it.
I've forgotten her name.
Picture it. There's two Samantha. Brothers, and one of them's really great and good at stuff, and everybody likes it. And the other one's not.
Yeah. It's very self-complimentary, biased at all. Yeah. Summary of the story.
And imagine that guy turns out to be.
Imagine he's right here.
And doesn't he sound like somebody you'd want to go on a date with? He does, doesn't he?
Do you like
how they plot twist
suits? You ever heard of Lando Calrissian?
Because somebody owns his cape.
And it works every time.
And he explains again the backstory and goes specifically over the point where he went to Earth to protect him in case Cabal escaped instead of just fucking guarding him the whole time.
Yeah.
That's cool. And you see repeatedly he's got like a stopwatch, or not, like a pocket watch with a picture of like old-timey him and I assume his wife at one point to show, you know.
He cared before.
He cared before. Like he I had was a human life.
Once.
Yeah. You don't see any of it. He just, you see this picture in his pocket watch 17 times to hint at character.
Not unlike
Highlander. No way.
It's not unlike Highlander.
Yeah.
Where they go back and they show you his time with his wife and then he severs ties because he doesn't want to be hurt again.
Yeah, I know. Mm. It's a good catch. I never really caught the Highlander similarities. It's good. Mm. So what they break out. So she stops her clothes, stops everybody with the thing.
Flashed protein shakes the lab guy.
We forgot.
Oh.
The punk was given invulnerability by Cabal.
Yes, around the same time.
To get into the police station and kill Mordred.
Yes. So he's...
He does not. He throws a Molotov cocktail at a police car, gets himself arrested.
Immediately just blows the hell out of it. Like, they spent half of their budget on that car exploding.
But he shows up and he doesn't especially do anything.
This is why
he just yells at him.
This is why you don't like go with a crazed anarchist punk dude to here. You just all you have to do is just walk in there and kill a guy.
Just follow these rules.
Cars up.
Rules. No way, man.
As they're bringing him in, he goes, "Cabal rules, baby." Like just stop. He's got the best lines. Like later on,
once again, just talking about his favorite Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is wrong. Cabal sucks.
I loved Cabal. And then there's another point. There's some sort of noise, and the cop goes, "What's that noise?" And Buddy goes, "It's the fuck you buzzer." And it's like, what?
This guy was just told to ad lib.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And God bless him. He's
and later on, he's like, "Don't fuck with me, lady. I'm on a mission from the master." It's like, I just want to take all the clips of you speaking and mash it all together.
That right there is a much better movie.
Well, let's do that here. That just may work for you.
We'll see.
So, or you'll just cut me out saying that.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They manage to get away. He has to, like, at some point fake that he's got her at gunpoint, and, you know, so he's a fugitive.
Yeah, so Mordred's, like, on the make, trying to...
He's got to be a criminal, a fugitive from the law. This does not matter at all. It won't come up.
Yeah.
Everything's
fine after that.
Yeah. We have Cabal. He just sits down on a bench in front of a museum, and an old lady comes and sits next to him, and he just sort of like casually threatens the apocalypse to her. It's like, "Oh, nice days." It's like, "Yes, it's the last one there'll ever be." And she just looks at him for like a minute, just like, "What the fuck?" And then that's it. And then just walks away.
But before that, Mordred almost gets stumped about doing anything by traffic.
Oh, because
he's like, he knows that Cabal's going to be at this museum. The museum's all the way on the other side of town, and traffic.
We're never making in this traffic.
In this traffic, and be like, "Well, I guess you just give up."
It's not as if you know magic.
Yeah. So then he.
What are you going to do? Fly?
Yeah. Then he sends his astral form. But yeah, then I have that almost gets stumped by traffic. But Cabal is just killing time on a bench, scaring old ladies.
Yeah.
So really, it all equals out.
I mean, so Cabal goes into the museum, and it's got like artifacts that he needs to do his super duper evil spell. They're closing down. I like the guards who come by and be like, "Hey, buddy, we're closing. You got to get out of here." Yeah. And then they just. leave the room and leave him in there. They don't escort him out or anything. It's amazing.
Yeah. And there's that kid that's in that scene.
Yes, right.
That is the director's son.
Oh, the one who calls Cabal a dickhead, if I recall.
Yeah.
Well, that was not very nice. Well, but he is a dickhead.
Mom, look at his hair.
That kid's the best character in this movie, I think.
I just want to, quick aside, I looked up Adrian the Punk. He was also Thug Number One in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
Oh, no way! Oh my god, I'm definitely going home to watch that tonight because I own Ninja Turtles 2 on Blu-ray.
Well, of course you do.
Ugh, I'm not proud of myself.
Oh yeah, so, sorry, back to the museum.
Back to it.
Cabal is in the museum and he's getting the Philosopher's Stone, which is the last thing he needs.
Yes.
He's got all the ingredients, all the radioactive ingredients.
A Philosopher's what? Quote, the cough.
Excuse me? It's called the Sorcerer's Stone in America.
We call it the Patriot Rock.
I love his magic because he's got like high school science class like flasks and beakers and he's just pouring like bright liquids around.
But he's got that big case that's like 75% foam.
Yeah.
That these he's little things.
Flasks. Don't shake those things up.
Yep. No, exactly.
Don't want them rolling around.
He does a little science experiment. At this point, he should have had his wraparound shades on because what if there's a reaction and it goes off in his eyes?
Yeah.
Well, he had to be safe.
He had to give them to the purple Smarty candy because it was 1992.
Ah, it's true. That's a good point. Well, you know what? Either way, he did not learn any safety lessons in the fourth dimension. But
so he starts to do his stuff, do his alchemy sorcery, which is releasing the demons that are imprisoned in the fourth dimension, where that poor old guy,
you know, eyeballs
with his little, he's got eyeballs back, but he's got a little ray gun. And he's like pew pew.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Pew pew.
He's shooting. It just looked like a normal gun, except it went pew pew pew.
It just had something else on the end to make it.
Before he started firing, I was like, oh, they got guns there.
Well, I know.
It's like, he seemed like a straight up like medieval like old knight or something, and now he's got laser guns. I mean, part of me is like, that's cool.
It's an executioner. Right?
Yeah,
there you go.
That's not bad.
Another Marvel nod. So yeah, he starts to do that, but then Mordred shows up in his astral form.
Yes.
And then they start to have a little battle.
So he just laid down in a park.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
That's like he couldn't make it there in time. Just like, oh, I guess
can
I'll
you fly?
There.
Nope. Just gonna lie down in a park.
Watch me. I'm gonna take a nap.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make sure no strung out junkie punk tries to stab me.
Yeah. Highlander girl, watch me, and then I'll leave.
Yeah. So Cabal calls out, it's like, you can't physically do anything to me like this. We established this in an earlier scene.
And he goes, but I can do a spell.
And that's, it's just him going, ugh. And Cabal makes a T-Rex, like bones,
like a skeleton.
Like a skeleton, come to life in stop motion majesty.
Yeah.
Cabal, what was it? Like a stegosaurus? I forget, it was something else.
I don't know what it was. It had two long.
It was tusks. A mammoth. It was a mammoth.
Oh, it was like a mammoth. Okay, that makes
sense. But
the T-Rex starts attacking the security guards. He's like, "Oh, you love humans so much. This thing's going to eat these humans up."
And it did. And he just sort of stood there and watched it.
Yeah, the guy that did the stop action motion stuff for that won an Academy Award. Not for this movie.
No, I don't think so.
No, but won an Academy Award for his stop motion stuff in Young Sherlock Holmes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
In the 10-minute making of, that was in there.
I didn't know there was a lot of stop motion.
There's this weird...
Well, it's the part when all the ghoulies show up.
It's the part where it's Dr. Watson, young Dr. Watson starts to hallucinate. He's been like hit with some drug and he's hallucinating. And he has all these pastries in front of him. All the pastries come to life.
Ah!
Yeah. It's kind of creepy.
That sounds creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds horrifying.
It's actually a good movie.
So, you had the stop motion part, which I want to say that's a highlight.
It's pretty fun.
It's fun.
It's fun.
It's not. It's like, decent stop motion. It was. You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
it was.
They're fighting, and then
So at no point do they really face each other because one of them is literally an impotent ghost who can't do anything except shoot magic.
An impotent ghost.
He's gonna attack him with magic or something instead.
Always gotta attack the masculinity, eh?
I'm just saying. He just stood there and kind of just idly watched a guard get murdered by a dinosaur bones. And then the other one was about to happen. He's about to kill the other guy who just... The T-Rex is coming towards him. There's like a big column. There's a door right behind the column. Right. But the guy just sort of decides to sit down in front of the post and accept his death.
I always knew it would end like that.
What a cool way to die.
Fuck king and country.
Yeah. And then he does a couple of spell things.
Mm.
Yeah. That's
basically all Mordred does here.
He makes the mammoth come to life. The mammoth turns and just basically as Cabal is about to... He's floating above the Philosopher's Stone, and his buddies are about to break out, the demons are about to break out of the prison. The mammoth gives the old,
gets
horny, and
gives him the old tusk.
Gives him, tusks. I was trying to figure out a weird way to say that.
The old tusk mask.
And, so that was, I mean, hey, that's not
but
nothing.
But it was
But
very,
then,
it was very
there's
quick.
There's more.
Is there?
It was very quick. Well,
not really.
Because he goes, he has to go back to his body at what, where the punk is about to stab.
Yes.
Him. That's right. So yeah, the
and
punk.
He, and much like he caught that axe, but boom, he comes back right in time to catch his arm with the knife.
So yeah, Highlander Girl's trying to fight him off, and then, yeah, he goes to stab him. And then he does his stopwatch flash.
Yeah, yeah.
Kicks the guys in the ball.
Yeah. Flash freezes him, and then the cops show up.
Well, before the cops show up, Mordred says, okay, well, I gotta go.
This has been
maybe,
great.
Maybe I'll be back someday.
My dimension needs me.
It's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
He disappears. Yeah. He goes back to the fourth dimension, and it's a very tearful goodbye. At which point the cops show up, and like, where did the guy go? Because as far as the cops knew, Mordred kidnapped Samantha. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she says, well, I lost him. I don't know. I don't know where he went. Okay.
That's it. Case closed.
And the guy time unfreezes and he goes, ow, my balls. Cut to.
Yes.
6 months later.
It's Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And Samantha.
And of course, before Mordred leaves, he says, can you please take care of Edgar, the crow?
Yes.
Very important.
And apparently move into my place.
Yes. Just,
have you seen that place? Goddamn. Yeah. Goddamn, oh, you're moving in.
Well, really. Squatter's like, rights. Okay, the squatter's rights. She pulls out a shiv as soon as he comes back. Yeah. Squatter's rights, it's mine.
It's my place now.
I'll cut you.
Get your own in a sanctum. So, yeah, at Christmas, he does come back.
Yeah.
He's Santa.
It did seem like he was just gone, right? He's like, I gotta go. Bye. Take care of Edgar.
So I guess he left for like 5 minutes and then came back.
Yeah. From his perspective, it's like, oh, shoot. It's like, oh, man, we got to talking. It's been 10 minutes. Yeah, I better get back. It's like 6 months.
Sorry, guy.
Pregnant. Edgar? I apologize.
Oh, this will be murder.
Oh, God. Yeah, so he shows up and there's just nothing much. You know, it's not even a big deal. It's
let's
just like,
watch a movie.
Let's watch a movie for Christmas. It's like, okay. And that's, you had a stronger ending before.
Yeah.
Which makes this a Christmas movie now.
Yeah.
Which, part of it takes place at Christmas.
I guess.
By Die Hard rules, this is a Christmas movie.
That's true.
I will watch it every Christmas, I promise.
I won't.
And that's how it ends, just sort of them awkwardly chatting where it seems they're not even really in the same room at the same time. Yeah. And they're going to watch a movie. I hope it's not this one.
And that's the movie.
All right, that was so almost as long as
I know.
The movie.
We've got less than 8 minutes before we are longer than the movie. So is there anything else we have to say about this movie?
Go see it.
Go watch it on YouTube.
It's on YouTube. Like literally you can watch it anywhere at any time. If you choose
but
to
if
do
you
such a thing.
If you want the making of.
Yes.
You will have to purchase the
DVD. I mean, the making
I'm sure
might
probably,
be on YouTube.
It might be somewhere as well.
I gotta wonder if this movie is, like, the DVD is still in print. Can you still buy this?
You bought this at a con, I assume.
You know what? I didn't. I ordered this one through Amazon.
From China.
Yeah. Well, but it's Full Moon Direct, because so it's there. Like, they're still in production. They're still going, so they're gonna have, they probably do just short print runs of them or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure they sold a bunch around the time Doctor Strange came out.
Yeah. People accidentally clicking the wrong thing.
Right now. In fact, you can order...
You're both looking it up.
No, yeah. You can order from Amazon.ca, if you're in Canada like us, Dr. Mordred on Blu-ray.
Boom!
For $28.58.
I don't know about you guys. I watched it in 720p. And it was amazing. You can really see the cones.
DVD still available for about $13. But I feel like you really need to see... You see every inch of the combs? I don't know what I'm saying. You got to see every... It's high definition for sure.
And then when it's done, comb over.
That's all we got this week.
That's all we got. Fish coming out.
We've wanted to do this for a while, so thanks for coming along with us. And we never really covered like a movie, like just going through a movie that no one's seen. So hopefully that was...
And that's how we started. We started this show watching Doctor Strange.
We did. 78... TV movie Doctor Strange.
Yeah, watch that. And we're like, hey, let's do a podcast.
So we've made
so
it.
This
maybe.
Is the last episode.
Come full circle.
That was probably like literally 4 years ago too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, we did it.
Who are we?
Yeah.
I'm Kyle. You can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com. leave it at that.
I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Merc and Not on Instagram. My website has shirts and books and stuff. Yeah.
I'm Bri Kotick. You can check my comic out at welcometohereafter.com. Social media under my name, BRYKOTYK. And that's all I got to say.
So yeah, we're
doing now, whatever.
We'll see you next week.
Probably.
When Mordred says...
I'm just
doing... I need my f***ing amulet!
I'm just doing his, like, faces.
Yeah, it's all... A lot of acting through the eyebrows. There's a lot of eyebrows stuff.
That's what I meant by stage
face. Acting comes from up here.
Yeah.
Not down here. And certainly not down here.
No. But then it comes back down a little lower, if you know what I mean.